following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
It's the Stone Cold and Jackal Show.
Really? That's what you came up with for our intro?
Stevie B. What's going on, dude?
Brad, what's happening?
Brad, who's Brad?
Bradford. I know, I never call you Brad until now, so.
It's so funny, like, did anybody call you Jack growing up? Or were you always
No,
Steve?
Because my grandpa was Jack.
Yeah, oh,
and then okay. And then they didn't want to, my dad is actually Jack Stephen Burton, I'm the second.
Yeah.
But
Junior.
My grandpa, totally Junior. That's why I know they didn't do Junior because, you know, I'm from the Midwest and, you know, right. Kentucky. So it'd be like, Junior, get over
junior,
here.
Junior.
You're Junior. So, yeah. No, my grandpa was Jack. And I think they just called my dad by his middle name, Steve.
Right.
And then I was Steve Junior. And then little, it's never, listen, I'm going to tell you
were
this
Were you
right
ever
now.
Little Steve?
Little Stevie, yeah.
Oh, buddy.
And then, but here's the thing, dude. You don't ever want to name your kid, your boy, after you. Because my
a lot of people do, though.
I know, but it just became like with my dad and I, just, you know, his credit would show up on mine and things would like intermingle.
Yeah.
And then it's like crazy stuff. And I'm like, no, that's not me. That's my dad.
That can be pretty complicated. Yeah.
So yeah. It was complicated. So
unless you own your own business as a duo, like Steve Burton and Sons, like Salvage. Steve Burton and Sons Salvage.
So that's what you see me as.
Yeah.
A salvage man. Wow.
Then it could all work.
I didn't know what a beep you were.
Because if it all gets confused, then it's okay.
Because
you're just salvaging.
Yeah. Okay. So your business would be dry cleaning sweater vests.
Yeah, that would
so
be it.
So shut
that,
up.
That's it. All right. So
don't, what's
don't
up, man?
Don't ever call me Brad again.
Yeah. Brad in a vest.
I don't know. I just thought Brad would be like, well, as a kid in New Hampshire, it wasn't a big deal, but I'm so glad that in California, now that I live in California, I'm not Brad. Like, because then
that's kind of a unique name, Bradford.
I thank you.
Yeah. I don't know if that was a compliment. But
my
okay.
name, do you know my name was almost Garth? Did I ever tell you that?
Wow, really?
My mom, who you've met a bunch of times now,
sure,
wanted to name me Garth.
Love your mom.
Because she thought it was...
Love her.
She thought it was masculine.
Okay. So like...
What I do you think...
So like Chuck or Jack
or Garth?
Yeah,
looking at me, my name was Garth, do you think I would have been more masculine? See, the hiccup...
Absolutely not.
The unforeseen hiccup in that thing is Wayne's World.
And Garth Brooks.
Well, Garth Brooks, right. But in New England, Garth Brooks was less of a thing.
Sure.
But so everyone's association with Garth
was party.
In my lifetime.
Was party on.
Party on Garth.
Yeah.
And so
I could see you doing that, though.
Yeah.
In the college years. Party on, Garth.
Yeah. Musical theater school was less crazy than that.
Yeah. Sing on, Garth.
Sing on, Garth. There you go. It's nice to be with you.
Yes. Everything good in life?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
things no are, complaints. No,
I mean, there rarely is.
Right. We woke up today breathing.
Little blips here and there, but overall, it's all good.
Little speed bumps, little lessons in life that we learn from and then move forward,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all we can do.
And someone that we spent a fair amount of our life with is here.
Yes.
Right?
Well, especially a fair amount of my life.
Right. And I've lived vicariously through you for many years. And so he's been a part of that as well.
Yes, he has. This guy is legendary. Listen.
In his own mind, yes.
No. this guy's a legend not only in Ohio, but in California too.
Yeah.
So we should introduce our next guest. And he plays Max
Giambetti
on General Hospital.
Your friend and ours,
Dirk Cheatwood.
Woo!
Dirk
Hello,
Cheatwood.
Everybody.
Wow, do we have a lot to talk about. So I told Dirk, I go, hey, you're going to be on the podcast. He goes, okay, I don't know what we're talking about, but it's not going to be long. I go, you have legendary
no
stories, dude.
You obviously haven't listened to our podcast because you don't.
We've mentioned you. a bunch of times, by the way.
Yeah, you're well established.
So thanks for listening. Not.
Oh man. I'm too busy. I got three kids now. You know the deal.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's
tough to sleep. Go ahead. <It's>
You're looking gets all nervous. Like, yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You talk.
So when I first came on the show, Steve. You know, when Steve and I started working together, and he said
that was 2006.
2006.
Right. And when were you? When did you come on the show first? Do you remember?
2001, I want to say.
Okay.
But my introduction to life on the road, because Steve said, hey, once you come, I'm going to New York. It'd be great if you could come with me. I was like, great. And so I get there, and there's like eight other people there.
There wasn't really eight, though.
No.
Not with me.
But it was me, Steve, Dirk. And then Scott Reeves and Andy Gurley, and because they played music and
before, right? Was that at the hotel in Jersey or something?
No, that was the brokerage. That was the first.
Oh, it was the brokerage. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
It was the first time we ever went out on the road together.
Okay,
and we had a
tell us the story.
And I was blown away by the history, and like I felt like I was coming into a circus that had been going for a long time.
They're urban legends.
There was definitely a circus.
And not only did I realize that, but I realized I was like at the end of it.
And you were very sad.
I was very sad. The stories that I've heard over the years led me to believe that I came in too late.
Which may be a good thing for you.
Probably
you're
so.
Alive.
You might not have,
going for you.
Garth might not have come out of that one.
So I want to hear some of that stuff. Some of the stuff that's safe for the airwaves. And but we should probably go back a little further.
We can go back further because we had Ty on the show.
Yeah,
he was one of our first guests, and
not one of our first guests, the first guest.
The first guest. Okay, I can't remember how we schedule the shows, but Ty came on and then first told us that he's not American Indian.
Right, there's that.
Yeah, yeah.
We just that found out about that
bombshell breaking like, news on the Stone Cold
not
Jackal
only
Punk.
has he been last night we were laughing about it. He's won like an American Native acting award.
Oh no,
he got like indoctrinated into the Choctaw tribe. He has Indian parents. he's 0.0000% Indian, which I absolutely am still dying. I'm like, bro, you got a water. He's got the water bird tattoo on his arm. I'm like, do you have to give any of this stuff back?
What do you got to do?
Do you get in trouble for this?
Is there a card you got to give back?
I'm like, did you go to college for free? Because you're done, bro. Yeah. You're going to be chipping rocks.
You can owe somebody some money here. That's amazing. So Ty got on the show, and that's how Dirk and I met.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, we kind of started hanging out. Go ahead. You tell your version of the story.
Look,
you just tell your version.
So
just go step by step because I think people might find this interesting.
Yeah. All right. Funny. So
you were living with Ty. So start there.
Yeah.
No.
Start because he told us. He told us that when people were leaving Ohio.
Yeah.
You were the one that knew exactly where you were going and what you were doing and when you were doing it. You're like, I'm getting out. I'm going to L.A. because this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And when did you get that? When did that get into your
head?
Well,
you can only hear that you look like a model so much before you have to get to Hollywood.
Dude, you're preaching to the choir here,
seriously.
Man. I mean, you and me, of like, all people know.
Abs like that. I mean, you got to go, brother. So, you know, the truth of it was, on the serious, we'll get to the funny stuff here in a minute. But
okay.
I just wanted to, you know, we all grew up loving movies and stuff. And so, like, something that really impacted me, and I'm sure it did you guys, was the movie Stand By Me. And so that was really the first time I'd kind of ever put together I could maybe do that. And Bradford, I know your theatrical background and kind of all the stuff that you'd done before you'd gotten here. And that was not my case. I was like, didn't know what I wanted to do going into my senior year. And I'm like, I'm just going to go to L.A. and be an actor. Like, how hard can it be? And that's really the truth, you know.
You packed the truck, right?
I had a Chevy S10 truck. I was a bungee jump instructor for 3 months.
What? Where? Here or in Ohio?
In Ohio, above Lake Erie, which...
Off a crane?
off a crane over the lake. Yeah, it was great.
Wow.
Yeah, hundreds of jumps. It was a fun summer.
Now, were you the guy that went – were you the instructor that like did a tandem jump, or were you the guy that pushed them?
I don't jump with other dudes. Bro, there's some things – no, just kidding.
There's some rules.
There's some rules.
To bungeeing.
No, so the way the bungee thing worked was is you push people – like I basically pushed grown men and women out of this cage up there, and you're strapped in, but like we would like calibrate their weight and stuff. It was pretty cool, man. It was
right. There's some math.
Awesome summer job.
Yeah, right.
You could make a little bit of an error because the worst thing they were going to do is go like an extra 3 feet underwater and like, you know.
Right. Oh, did you calibrate it so that they'd get
a little water dip,
a little splash?
Sometimes we'd over calibrate it.
Depending like, on who it was.
Ooh, he had a full cannonball before the bungee even caught.
Oh man,
he'll be all right.
A full fondue.
How high was the jump? Or the
it was like 10 stories.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. Like 100 feet plus or whatever.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Did you get some bad sunburns being that high? And
you know, man, I don't really remember a whole bunch of that time, to be honest with you. There was a Mexican restaurant.
What kind of weird question
there
was
that?
Did you get sunburned up there on the crane?
Well,
just
obviously,
think about
Bradford,
being out there all day in the summer. You got to protect yourself.
With no shirt on, of course I got burnt. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Buddy. Yeah. Well,
so,
that's a good summer job.
I moved to L.A., blah, blah, blah.
No, it's not blah, blah, blah. Dude, you left your small town in Ohio.
Yeah.
Because that's a big deal.
Yeah.
To pack the truck after you graduate and be like, hey, I'm out. Later, family.
Was your family supportive? Were your friends like, dude, you're crazy?
You know, my mom was a school teacher. And so my mom actually flew out here to, remember, she got me my place up at the Oaks.
Yeah.
Above Warner Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Was kind of like
Oakwood.
Yeah.
She started looking down on people.
Yeah. I was terrified. Like when I got to California, the truth is I'd never really been on a highway that had more than two lanes.
Mm.
I was absolutely terrified. Going from.
For good reason.
From the Oakwoods to Vons was like a whole day, like Thomas Guide, like, okay. And you know that Vons is only like a half a mile from there. But it'd be like, remember the Thomas Guide back in the day before
sure.
the fancy flight? I had map 4 and go down here.
Yeah, G4 and E3.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Oh, to find it on the grid.
Yeah,
to
find
it on the grid. Yeah.
And so, I came here and, you know, I cleaned carpets for this guy for a little bit who had never ended up paying me. But I would go around and clean like Hollywood like mansions and stuff in the Hollywood Hills, and he worked for this company called Carpet Care.
Yeah. Did you find some silverware in your pocket later on?
Yeah, seriously. But
did you ever take anything?
No. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, sometimes there's like a loose 20 hanging out.
Bro.
You might. Listen.
I was from Ohio.
No, you're
a
starving actor.
Yeah.
You might have to, you know, if there's a 20 laying around, you might just, it might fall into your pocket somehow.
I moved to L.A. with like $6,000, which was a lot of money.
Especially in 78.
But rent was like $1,000 a month, so I only had like
6 months.
I only had like, well, that if I don't eat or do anything else.
You
so
had 6 months to live.
So, yeah, so I worked with this guy. He ended up not paying me for a few weeks, which was kind of a bummer. But
yeah.
And then I ended up going over to the next place where this will play into our story later, but the famous Bombay Bicycle Club in Burbank.
There's a lot of bees.
A lot of bees.
That's right.
Some good alliteration. I like that.
And so I went there and got a job, started off hosting. I was like 18 years old.
What is the bicycle club?
It's like a...
It's Indian cuisine.
It's like a bad TGI's.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was a restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Restaurant with a bar. It's like a Friendly's or a freak TGI's.
Every single actor you can think. I mean,
right in downtown Burbank, dude.
Okay.
Yeah. First Street by it was
right by the Holiday Inn over
Bombay
there.
Bombay Bicycle Club, Black Angus, Bobby McGee's.
Right.
Jeez.
So that was fun.
Does
every
business in Burbank have to start with a B?
Yeah.
I think so.
Bradford.
And then they got the what's that other place that that brewery place behind there, it starts with a B too, doesn't it?
Does it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anyway. So I got a job there, and and it was there for a couple years, and I started talking to Tyler, you know.
But you were doing the grind, though. You got an agent
grinding,
at that time.
Yeah,
you
got a couple of gigs. Yeah. I got some commercials, you know the deal, early on. By the way, my first show that I ever booked, which was pretty quick, I think it was about 8 months of me being in here, out here was called Running the Halls. A really like a
yeah, I remember the kids
it was,
show.
It was like a sea level Saved by the Bell. So, you know, the, well, there's B
was A was Saved by the Bell. Oh, A level.
When I'm you telling, say sea level, not like S E A level, like, yeah, yeah. The like, letter C.
Yeah. Yeah, like a B movie.
Yeah, like a B movie. This was a show. C TV show. Oh, but okay. I booked it and I played Meat. Which is awesome.
Have you played? I feel like you've played a bunch of characters.
Yeah, I've played meat. Lots of meat.
Yeah.
There's a lot of meat over here. And,
yep.
And I booked my first job and I was like, dude, I'm on my way. Right. You know what I mean? Okay. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, when you break your first job, you're like, oh, well, then that's, this has got to be the hardest part. So now the rest is gravy.
So I remember how much I was going to make and yeah. I was like, $900 was right. My first paycheck. And it was like, that was a week on after back then.
Right.
And so I was like, wow, what am I going to do with all this extra money? You know, like $900.
Right.
So then I get the check from like my, you know, my agent at the time and the, you know, taxes. And I think I had like 400 left.
Taxes and commission.
Yeah. Yeah. Out. Yeah. So a week's worth of my life, I made $400 and I went out and bought rollerblades with them. So that's my story.
That's it.
That's all I had. That's all I had left. Well, I had big plans, but that's
blades
all
of glory.
Oh my god! Exactly.
You were playing. Were you skating around in spandex
like
and stuff,
an
dude?
Idiot, going down those hills.
Did you get a headband to match? I mean, like in some wristbands.
There's a whole story about the rollerblading series in my life, but that's we could save that one for another day.
Yeah. Well, so you're Bombay. And so you ended up tending bar though.
Yeah, I ended up waiting tables, and then I started bartending. But during this whole time, I was talking to Tyler, and you know, Tyler was kind of taking a little break from college at Ohio Wesleyan, and I had booked a pizza commercial, and you know, made you know, remember commercials? We used to make
back
pretty
then,
good money.
Yeah, sure.
They were good money.
Yeah.
And so I told him, I was like, hey man, I made $10,000 on this commercial, and I you know worked 2 hours.
Right.
And that's all he had to hear. Right. He was like, what? What's this all? All right, I'll be you know. So he moved out. Ty moved
that's
out.
So funny.
And you know.
All thanks to Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut, man.
Yeah.
And, introduced Tyler to my agent at the time, which went well.
Yeah.
And then he got on the show. Yeah. And then he was on the show, you know, I don't know, like a year later after he'd moved here. And he became friends with Steve. And I was hanging out here very early on in the process of him being on the show, just like,
right.
You know, whatever. No kids, no wife. You know, what do you do? You just play video games and hang out with your buddies.
I'm familiar.
Yeah.
And I remember Steve walked in back in the day when he had that golden mane.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
Just beautifully, like,
oh, just stunning.
Enriched with, like, vitamin C oil. Yeah. And there might have even been some dripping off of it.
Yep.
It was that healthy.
Yep.
You know
totally,
what I mean?
Totally.
And he was cool. I still remember. It was the dressing room down there on the right. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. That's where my
room
was.
And you walked in.
Yeah.
And from Ohio, we started doing the Ohio thing real quick.
Yeah.
Sure.
And
what does that mean? Drink, just pounding beer?
I mean, dude.
No, I'm kidding.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
But no, but instantly we all had that, you know, like you would run into somebody from New England and be like, oh.
Yeah, we have something in common.
We like the Patriots or whatever. So super cool. And then, Steve, where do you want me to pick it up from there? Why don't you lead me into the...
Well, we just started hanging out a lot, Dirk and I, and he was living with Tyler in Burbank with another cat, another friend of ours, Davey. And,
Which had a dog that pooped everywhere. You remember that.
Everywhere. That freaking dog.
Yeah. That's a whole nother story.
Little dog or big dog? Was it big poop or little poop?
It doesn't matter.
Lots
dude.
Of
that
little
thing
poops
was a freaking.
This, it might as well have been an elephant in there with all the.
It was like a kennel.
Yeah.
So, long story short, we became best friends and we just hung out a lot.
Was that before you started working on the show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
before he started working on the show, yeah.
And before you started taking him on the road, was it. Or like?
Yes.
How, okay.
Yeah, we
all
just
right.
kind of. We just started hanging out and going out a lot to some clubs and bars and, you know, doing a little bit of the nightlife and playing some video games.
Lots of silver terry cloth.
He started going on appearances with me, but he wasn't on the show yet because we would just roll into towns. And,
right. You just bring your friend. You're just bringing your buddy.
It'd be a freaking hurricane that rolled in and we'd go out.
Ugh.
And, you know, look, we were, you know, we were having fun. Yeah. We were, you know, maybe drinking a little too much.
This is mid-90s? Yeah. Mid-late 90s?
Oh,
no, no, early
90s. No, this is mid-90s,
oh, yeah,
bro.
Mid-90s. Yeah, mid-90s. Yeah. Mid-90s. So, you know, we went everywhere. I was doing appearances all the time.
All the time,
so, you know, I remember one. There's so many, but we went to a place and it was right on the
Maryland. one?
Is that the one? The one right on the river?
With the fountain?
Yeah, with the fountain.
That was Tony and Joe's in Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we went to it, it was this cool outdoor it was almost looked like a half coliseum where there was businesses and restaurants and bars.
And it was on the river.
It was on the Potomac River,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And
Potomac. Potomac.
Yeah, Potomac, as we say in Ohio. So we're awesome. We were there early, a little earlier than we should have been. And, you know, enjoying some
the spoils of the Coliseum.
Yeah, yeah. Correct. And, you know, things just maybe sort of get out of hand a little bit. And, you know, we might have been
Dollar Kamikaze night. I don't know.
We were on our – it was, man, you know, it's all this – then all of a sudden it's, you know, 8 hours later and dark. And we're like, oh, we should go. And we're heading back to the hotel to catch a cab. And,
had you done your event?
No, not yet. The next day.
Yeah.
Oh, the next day.
And yeah. And so all I remember was
no, Steve said there was a big fountain, right? And he's like, hey, I dare you to jump in that fountain. Don't ever dare a man that's had 15 kamikazes
to do
inside
anything.
Of 45 seconds.
Dude, so this freaking – I mean, it was packed. It was like the Grove.
Okay, yeah.
On a Friday night.
Oh, man.
And it was packed. Yeah. And all
– a lot of people in the splash section.
All I see, Dirk didn't say one word. He just started
– like Lou Ferrigno running down.
Freaking cannonball.
One knee up.
Cannonballs in the middle of this fountain.
But we should preface, we didn't ever look in the fountain, so we didn't know how much water was in there.
No, dude.
Like a foot. It was like a foot of water.
It was like the Friends fountain.
Yeah, I mean, it was the worst fountain to ever do a back.
100%. Yeah. What a bunch of idiots.
Oh, dude. So I'm in there, and somehow in that 1 foot of water, I missed like a sprinkler that would paralyze me for sure,
gosh,
right?
Oh, yeah, there were sprinklers in there, dude. And yeah, it was crazy.
I hit it, and then 1 second later, I hear, because it's idiots right behind me. And it must have been before mall cops or something, yeah. Because we should have literally been arrested or tasered or something. But I remember Steve used to wear these like boots that would zip up on the inside. And I remember him like jumping and then running away. And I just remember them sloshing and the water like splashing out of him. So I don't know how we didn't go to jail that night.
Oh goodness!
But it was usually good clean. It was good clean fun.
We had a lot of fun, dude. And then basically Dirk got on the show.
No, this is how. Okay, it
worked. Tell me.
So remind I was me. Hanging out and we were living together. Me, you, and Nate Dogg.
Yeah. So I bought my first house.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm like, we'll have some roommates. And Nate used to work here in production and then became a writer. But
is that how you knew Nate from here?
Yeah, from here. Yeah. So I had a small house in Beverly Hills, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And three bedroom. And Dirk rented a room. And Nate had a room. And it was
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
I mean, it was the best.
I mean, and Nate is one of a kind. Great guy.
It Beverly was, Hills, 90211. One.
Yeah. We missed it by one digit.
We were,
and it wasn't the best, like, it wasn't the best house.
Was it like south, like, was it below
south
Olympic?
Of Wilshire? No.
No.
Between Wilshire and Olympic.
Between Wilshire and Olympic.
But
yeah.
it was a bank repo, so I got a great deal on it.
Yeah.
I put some money into it, fixed it up. But you couldn't be in a worse location in a house because it was on a corner of an alley.
Yeah.
And next to it was a glass building. So the sun would hit the building literally incubate our house.
Oh,
right? And then across the street was William Morris or ICM, which one?
One of them, yeah.
A glass building, right?
Yeah.
The two floors were the executive agents.
Yeah.
And they looked right down into my front yard,
so you
into my front driveway.
Take your shirt off and try to get
these. We would have a keg pretty much iced down at all times by the basketball hoop.
Because there was no lawn. It was a driveway.
Cement, yeah.
So it was blacktop.
Yeah.
So I put a basketball hoop up.
Right,
and,
sure.
And all we did.
Barnyard basketball.
We were out there playing basketball all day. And I know that because we could see these people like on their headsets looking down.
Yeah, back when headsets
just so
were
jealous
like,
that these guys were having fun.
No, like
no,
who are these idiots?
Like who are these freaking idiots? And we should buy that house and tear it down.
Exactly.
Like right now.
We should make a park out
we
of it.
We need
that.
To get like a shoulder
oh,
launcher
dude.
And just.
It's like when you buy your first house, you don't think of any of this stuff. Like that glass building could heat up my house. Or maybe that. 20 by 20 ventilation fan for the whole building
yeah.
was basically every time it goes on, it would kind of suck Nate out of his room because it yeah. was right across
well,
the alley.
Well, he's little.
It was yeah, just crazy, dude. But we had a. I mean,
it
was
sounded
amazing.
Like a Harrier jet was landing in the alley when it went.
Yeah, it was
an,
it was amazing.
But it was cool
though.
Because it was by McCormick and Schmick's. It was down the street.
Oh, nice.
And we had like by Kate Mannellini back.
Oh,
in the
yeah,
day.
Oh yeah, back when that yeah. was yeah that was great.
When
yeah.
that was there. So
that's where they filmed Heat for the people who
that's
were
right.
listening.
Yeah. That's right.
De Niro and Pacino did their famous scene there. So you know we were in walking distance of stuff. There wasn't Uber, so you know
right.
We were in a lot of cabs, but we had a lot of fun. And then, you know, Dirk moved in and we'd still go on the road and do appearances yeah. and stuff like that. And then.
This week's episode is brought to you by your favorite website, StoneColdAndTheJackal.com. Now, many of you are probably already familiar with it, but it truly is your one-stop shop for everything Stone Cold and the Jackal. It has info and links to tickets for all of our tour dates, all the bonus content from our podcast, and some pretty cool SC&J merchandise, too. Now, be sure to sign up for our newsletter. That way, you'll always be in the know about our latest tour dates, any breaking news, and we love to send out discount codes, too. And now, speaking of discounts, our listeners can take 15% off their merchandise order by using code STEVEANDBRAD at checkout. That's one word, Steve and Brad. So check out our site, StoneColdAndTheJackal.com. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter list so you don't miss us when we come to your town. And don't forget, for 15% off merchandise, use code STEVEANDBRAD at checkout. One word, STEVEANDBRAD.
1999, Steve, well, here's how it went down. He's married to, of course, the lovely Cherie Burton, as we right. all know. We've seen her before. But I remember the day the party came to an abrupt end, and that was the day when John Homa, the acting coach, was here, and Steve, you know, they were talking, and I just remember him saying, I met my wife today. And I was like, yeah, whatever, you know, like, break out the Sega, let's go back and play some games.
The Sega.
Yeah, you
totally. Because nobody was looking for anything. It was like we were rolling awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't write a better script if you wrote a movie. It was just like we rolled.
Hard.
Because back then it was appearances. They were giving 2 first-class tickets.
Right.
And you were just the man. They put you in a 4 Seasons. We stayed the 4 Seasons all the time. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Sure.
You know, and we're like... Man, life does not get better. Like, Dirk was just like...
Oh, dude.
Life was not... He'd do a commercial, like, every now and then and make 50 grand and sit on the couch all day.
Yeah. Well, you remember how good I got at James Bond and Mario Kart.
Oh, dude, you were the master.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know those guys on YouTube are making $20 million a year now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you should have been taping yourself playing video games.
Somehow I always miss the right time of everything in my life. It's literally true for me.
It's so funny. But so anyway, we were rolling. It was amazing, right? We'd have barbecues, and it was just all the time.
Fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And then
I met... Cherie.
You met Cherie, and then right around the same time.
No, it was the picnic. You went to the picnic with me.
Well, yeah, dude, I heard you were like, that's the girl I'm going to marry. We kept hearing it. We're like, whatever, dude, you're not going to marry her. Like I said, we've got an appearance next week. We've got plans.
You don't have time to get married, dude.
Yeah,
you
bro,
stuff
we're,
to do.
We're rolling. And then, of course, we all know he ended up getting married. He got engaged and then right around the same time, I did a movie. I was getting ready to do a movie, U571.
Yeah.
I
wanted to hear about that because that what a cool experience.
I was supposed to be in his wedding. And remember, we all moved out then.
Yeah.
It was the time that you sold the house.
It was honestly, I came home. I go,
all right, guys,
I'm getting married. Pack your stuff.
Yeah, literally.
It was like 30 days to get out.
Sure.
You know.
And
yeah, that was just the like.
And I missed it because I was gone.
You're
Italy. I hated that, dude.
That's the weird thing
it's
about
it. Okay.
Our...
I don't really remember it.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I do, but people will come up to me like, hey, you remember your way? I go, you were there? You know what I mean? It was a long time
ago.
That's
the weird thing about our business, though, is that sometimes the opportunities that we get, since they don't come around very often, we're we're expected to prioritize them over life things a lot.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, I mean, I remember I missed my – I was doing – I was in Idaho doing summer theater. I was doing a production of, like, The Tempest for $150 a week. But I didn't have an understudy, and my grandfather died back east. And, like, I couldn't leave. And it's like, it's that, you know, it's that stuff, like, and that's on a small scale, I mean, not small scale in terms of life, but in terms of job, but even still.
Now, I've had a situation like that while I'm here.
Yeah.
And they try to do everything they can to get you out here, but sometimes it does not work.
Yeah.
You know, like, and this is what we kind of chose to do, and you're going to miss things like that.
Yeah. Or the best way to book a job in our business is to make a life plan, like plan a vacation, and then you're going to book the best job of your
100%.
Life. 100%. You know, and that's, and boy, it's a weird thing. But yeah, missing your buddy's wedding because you booked a huge submarine movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hold on. I got to stop, though, because we'll get back to that. And we know what happens. I get married and have kids, live happily ever after so far.
Right.
But you got to tell the one story when we were living in the house in Beverly Hills about your commercial with.
Dennis Leary.
Yeah, with Dennis Leary. You just got to set it up, right?
Because
this is the time where we were rolling hard. We were going out all the time, every night.
Well, this was Moorpark. We lived in Toluca
Lake. Oh, that
was
Moorpark?
We lived in Toluca Lake. Had Bud.
Okay.
You had Bud the dog.
Yeah, well, I inherited Bud the dog.
Well, I got to tell Bud's part of the story.
Okay, let's tell.
Bud has a point of view in this story?
Yes, he does. You got to listen to the start.
Okay. So, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready for this. It up.
So I had this guy. I have to go back a little bit. What was his name? Joe?
The guy, Pica.
Joe Pica.
Yeah. Very famous director.
Joe Pica did
very famous commercial director. He directed Michael Jackson's commercials.
Oh, the Pepsi one?
Yeah.
He also did Space Jam, but he was more of a commercial guy, big time. Like,
huge commercial director.
Won all the Clios, but he was not friendly. And, I mean, legendary. He would, like, throw people... Fire actors off set.
He threw a guy off the Santa Monica Pier.
Literally.
Like with his hands.
With his hands. He's like six. How tall is he?
Dude, like he looks like a Viking. He has this long gray hair that comes. He's like 6'7" and built like a.
So nowadays he'd be arrested and fired, but back then it was just lore.
Right. Yeah, pre correct. All of the things that are happening in Hollywood and people blowing whistles on it, right?
Right, yeah.
Totally.
But he used to make the clients of the company he would work with wear a bag over their head with eyes cut out, and they couldn't. This is no shit. This is like IBM.
But is that awesome?
Oh my god!
He had complete and absolute power.
Yeah.
And he treated everyone like shit on his on his set. Yeah. Sorry, pardon my friend.
No, you're fine, dude.
But he paid everyone so well that
they were hey,
you want some respect? Here's
you want
your
to
respect.
Freaking kick me? Kick me? Pay
totally.
Me?
Totally. But he liked me because this one time I ended up booking like a PSA commercial for no money. And he was like, I didn't even know who he was. And I made like nothing, a couple hundred bucks.
Public service announcement. Kids don't smoke.
PSA that he did
it.
Yeah, he directed it. And before he left, he was amazing to me. And he said, hey, I'll call you again sometime, right? And we all hear that every day. Like, I'll call you. Sure enough, dude, that guy ended up putting me in like 13 national commercials over the course of the next 3 years. Remember?
Yeah.
And so this one time he called me. I had done a commercial with George C. Scott for HBO where we all played germs on a remote, and George C. Scott was the head germ. Famous commercial. And we all jump at the same time to turn on HBO in the hotel room before the maid sprays the remote and kills us all.
Oh, that's funny.
But super famous guy. And so I get this call that I'm going to go do a IBM commercial, right, back in the day. And I'm living with Steve at the time, and it just started, but we had been hanging out for quite a while. And I remember I was like, hey, dude, it was Halloween, bro. Remember? This is where the whole story goes. It was a 2-day shoot down in San Pedro. I had shot the first day and I had to go back the next day to finish the commercial. Dennis Leary was on the commercial. He was the star of the commercial.
And right.
I was just one of the guys like shaking his hand or whatever it was. Real, you know. And so he's like, let's go out. We went to Moose McGillicuddy's in Pasadena. And I'm like, you know, I have a huge commercial the next day. And, you know, here we are. We're partying. It's probably 12 o'clock. And we're still going. And I have to be in San Pedro at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Today I'd be dead because we all know that we would physically die if we had to do that. But back then.
Right.
So we get back to the house. And I'm not living with him yet, but I'm just crashing on his place. He's got this dog named Bud, who right. is like this lab on like crystal meth. Like, remember Something About Mary? That the chick who lifts up the couch and is like vacuuming underneath it. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just gets like she gets all hopped up on something. Well, this was Bud, and he would just like eat stuff, like it, like Dude. Controllers. But like not what, chew like, them up,
yeah,
like
yeah.
eat them, like eat the cord and stuff, and the cord would be gone. Right, so Bud was legendary.
He's a big white lab, just so, eats everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I come home one night or that night, and I'm crashing, and it was close enough to the freeway, the 110 yeah. over in Toluca Lake, and I said, "All right, dude, I'm gonna crash here." And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, it's fine, man, but Bud's gonna sleep down here with you." I was like, all right. Well, you know, I grew up with dogs. Okay, cool, whatever. And so I hear him, like, lock the door. Like, I was like, oh, dude, and I have to be up tomorrow. Like, can you set an alarm for him? He's like, yeah, dude, I got it. Right?
No.
Famous last word. So here's the two stars of the story, Bud and the alarm clock that never got sat.
Oh,
okay?
No.
So Steve goes up, shuts the door. Next thing I hear, I wake up at, like, 2 in the morning, cotton mouth. And I just hear, and like Bud's like working on something hardcore, but I'm like in and out of consciousness, right? I wake up like a half hour later, like Bud is now puking out whatever.
Whatever
he was doing before, now it's all coming up, right? And then I pass back out again, and then I wake up to Bud literally sticking his tongue in my mouth to the back of my tonsils, and he hits me like 3 or 4 times before I even know what's going on. He's just like, and dude, I'm absolutely mortified, but thank God he did that.
Right, because it was time to get up, probably.
Because I had to be in Pasadena or in San Pedro at 6 a.m. Guess what time it was? 8:30. 8:30 a.m. And I had to be on set at 6 a.m. with Dennis Leary in a second day spot, and this is a great story. You know what I'm going to tell after this.
Oh, God, just the panic.
Dude, I woke up.
Dude.
I started to cry.
Yes.
I cried. I really started to cry.
I would have too.
Oh, God, I'm going to die. Right? And I'm just like, and Steve's like coming down. I was like, hey, what's up, bro? And I was like, dude, you set the alarm. Oh, my God, I'm going to get fired. My agents are going to let me go. Oh, God. So I literally get in my Chevy S10, and I had a bag phone. Right? Remember back in the day with the whole bag?
Oh, yeah.
So I like jerk this bag phone. It's like $1 a second or whatever it was. Jam it in my lighter. Call my agents. And I'm like, I got a flat tire. I swear I used it.
Dude.
And literally as I'm going 60 down the shoulder of the 110 freeway that's stopped.
Like and San Pedro in L.A. is not close.
No, yeah. No. It's Long Beach, but further.
Yep.
Right, Long Beach, basically. Right
yeah,
before
yeah,
Long
dude,
Beach.
Dude, I'm driving in the lane where you're supposed to stop. Like
right,
today you would go to Alcatraz if they caught you there,
right?
I'm going 60 down it, like on the phone with my agent, crying.
Right, because it's the middle of rush hour, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's 8:30. You're dead.
This is 8:30. Exactly. Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, it's only a matter of time. He's going to – worse, I'm going to get fired. Secondly, I'm going to get humiliated by him when I get there.
And this is a guy that's been so good to you, too.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, responsible for years of me allowing to not be employed and have a great life, right? And so – anyway, long story short, I'm sliding around corners. My agents are like, they're afraid to even call and talk to production. They're like, well, they haven't called us yet. So just, you know, just get there as soon as you can. So, dude, I'm being serious. Like Dukes of Hazzard. Remember my S10 pickup truck?
Yeah, I know.
I was sliding around corners. I got down there. I mean, I learned how to like drive like a stunt car driver on this day. I literally get there. I slam on the brakes. The people are like, oh, my God, you're here. They're like, go in and get your stuff on real quick. I literally go in. Superman my stuff, like, you know, just like
right.
I open the door, close, I'm back out, there I am. And turns out, like, I go through makeup, they're like, you know, they slap me in my face. Okay, you're good. I go sit on set, and no joke, not even 10 seconds later, Dennis Leary pulls up to set in a Cobra that he had rented, like a Mustang Cobra, and like parked it by the camera, and he got out. And the whole production was late because Dennis Leary was out doing whatever he was doing the night before.
Oh,
and they absolutely laid into him. Joe Picca was like Dennis Leary, big star then, even now and then, especially back then.
Then, yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. I mean, you think you're some big star? Dude, I was nobody. I was like, yeah. But...
Oh, my
but
God.
I mean, dude, it would have been...
You were saved by him.
I was absolutely saved.
Oh, my God.
Whew. Yep. And then, yeah, so crazy story, man. And then and Dennis Leary's like, ah, blah, blah. They're back and forth. And but, I mean, it was, you know, there's it could have probably been a little bit more professional, you know.
In the days.
At that point in my life. But, ooh, but boo.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, so that was kind of, and then that commercial, here's the crazy story. And Steve, remember I got cut out of that commercial, right? But remember we went down to the union. You're like, dude, go fight it. And here, have you ever been cut out of a commercial?
No.
Okay. So dude, this is a crazy story because
I've only been in a few, so the odds.
You turn your head like this, and if you're recognizable even for a split second,
yeah, for sure.
You're in. So we got a downgrade letter. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then I ended up going back and contesting it with our union, going, "Hey, I'm in the commercial."
Right.
And that was one of the biggest paychecks of my entire life. Was just the fact that
you're welcome.
He told me. He said, "Go down and fight it."
Because sure enough, your profile was in it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. So back then it was VHS tape, and you got it, and you take it down to the attorneys at the Screen Actors Guild. Wow. And so the commercial had been running for like 6 months at the time.
Oh wow! So you were owed back pay. Yeah.
International, national, internet. I mean, dude, remember, I was like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
This dude was a hillbilly rich.
Dude, man, I had a whole another year and a half of, you know.
Sitting on the couch.
James Bond and Mario Kart. It was a good day.
Yeah, that is a great day.
Great day.
And so how do you find yourself here?
Yeah. So 2001, I did that movie. And then, you know, Steve and I were friends. Tyler was on the show still. And great person, a good personal friend of all of ours, Elizabeth upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
One of the writers, Elizabeth Cordy.
And
yep.
She said, hey, we need a bodyguard who's going to work a couple days a week here and there. You know, it's not going to be anything permanent or, you know, mainstay, but do you want to do it? And we all know as being an actor, like, you know, part-time acting gigs, awesome. Insurance.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so that just kind of turned into, you know, Elizabeth knew me from hanging around Steve and Tyler for so many years. And that's you know,
so
got
awesome.
The opportunity to be
that's
here.
That's so awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they started writing for him because we had Carolyn on.
Right.
We just finished Carolyn's podcast. So we talked about your guys' love scene a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, but I remember even before. Even before they paired you guys up, I remember, you know, back when I first came on and your brother was here on a regular basis, like you guys were, there was a stretch of a few years where you were in a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were working a lot, dude.
You know, and it was the comedy stuff, but it was the comedy stuff mixed in with, because there was a lot more action in those days too, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
So, and you guys were always involved in that. And, you know, so there were some long days here. You guys were mainstays. You know?
I remember your first day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, like sitting on the wall drinking something.
Oh yeah, with Lulu.
Yeah, I still remember you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. I think you guys came in to save us, maybe, and we were drunk or something.
You know what's crazy about this show is it's been, you guys know, like even for Steve, and you can come in and out of it over time, and you know the people here are great, and you know story changes, you know new writers, new
executive producers, new everybody.
So people come in and off the canvas, but it's been a lot of fun to be able to, gosh, be here like what is that 16 years?
Yeah, 2001, you say? Yeah.
Seventh. Gosh, I can't even that blows my mind to even think that to be a part of this show for that long is you guys know is a big deal.
It's
like
awesome.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people get to say, oh, I worked on a show for 20 years in their life, you know?
So Drew was here.
Did you guys interview him?
No, we didn't get him in
here.
No,
dude, but listen, this guy did, you know, and I told you already, but this dude did a scene, a couple scenes with Maurice that were amazing. We were in here, actually.
Yeah, we were watching on the...
Doing something, and we were watching, and I saw Drew, the sound was down, and we saw him. I'm going, what the heck is this? It was so, it captured us so much.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's this guy doing? And we turn it up, and I'm like, dude, this guy is just freaking killing
scene. It was awesome to see
him. I mean, it was amazing because he hasn't been on for a little while, right? Yeah. And he comes back, and it was
And not only that, but when he was here, he
never had
scenes like that. You know, when I used to work with him a lot when we were all fighting for Lulu, we were like the Three Stooges fighting over that blonde girl.
Right.
And me, Scott Clifton, and Drew. And we had a lot of fun back then, but it was, you know, it was physical comedy and it was, you know, we didn't have anything hard hitting. So I, you know, I'd never seen him even attempt to do that because it wasn't, you know, just wasn't something he was.
But it was, it was amazing, awesome. Dude. It's like the whole building stopped, the whole building stopped and paid attention.
Wow,
you know, yeah. And
I saw it. I saw it. He did a great job. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, you're in the minor leagues for so long, and you know, you hit some ground, you know, some standing
singles and doubles
and stuff.
Yeah.
It was nice to feel like he got called up and, you know, stroked a home run out when it meant something. And
for sure.
It meant something for sure.
And it means a lot that all you guys and anybody would say.
Oh, dude. And he's such a good guy and he's so humble. And he's like, yeah, you know, I go, Drew, you freaking, you killed it, man. I mean, honestly, there's not many times where you see somebody and you're like, holy crap.
Wow.
That was a scene. This dude did it. And he goes, yeah, I know. He goes, he was so funny. He goes, I got the script, and I go, are you sure this is for me?
Right.
You know,
right.
He goes, I wasn't sure. I thought they put the wrong name.
Right.
On the lines, I go, man, whatever, dude. You just did an amazing job. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping, because I told Frank, I go, did you see Drew? He goes, it was unbelievable. And mm-hmm. I said, is he allowed to submit himself for guest star? Emmys. Yeah. I go, that's an Emmy, dude. That's a guest star Emmy, hands down. There's no one guest starring who's going to beat that tape.
That's true.
But he can't because he's been on the show recurring.
So he
can't be guest. Yeah. So so some of the stories here, I know we've had a ton of stories, mm-hmm. but you and Carolyn are awesome together.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, it's fun to watch you guys.
Yeah, thanks, man. You know, It's always people ask about it, you know. Obviously, fans of the show and stuff like that. When are you guys going to get back together? And I guess you guys
are still together on the show theory, right?
They talk about us a lot.
We talked about that with her because you know people call my character off screen all the time,
right?
And
I call Diane all the time
off screen,
but then she'll say to me, she'll go, "Oh yeah, I got to go see Max, or Max is doing this or that." Yeah,
you guys have the most fleshed out love story off
camera.
Yeah, that's. I remember Frank said to me one day, he said, "You and Carolyn are together." I go, "Oh, well, on screen or off screen?" So I guess that's my answer. But
that's funny.
Carolyn's a blast to work with.
She's
you know,
awesome.
she's we all know her personality, and for those of you listening or whatever, and you see her at any events, that's Carolyn. She's very forward and funny and just
unabashed.
And unabashed. Great way to say it. But her timing is she's a very funny person in real life as well. And I hope that I would get to work with her at some point again. But you know, I'm in Nashville now.
That's right.
And you know, I get there and Steve leaves and comes back here. It took me seven years to recruit me there, but. But we love it down there.
Yeah, it's an amazing place.
We love it, and I'm still coming back and forth to do the show.
Are the kids enjoying themselves down there?
Yeah, man. You know, Steve will tell you it's you know, it's America.
Yeah.
It's a really great place, man. So we're enjoying our time there. We don't know if it's our, you know, last chapter like you've kind of moved around a little bit.
Yeah, dude.
And Steve's moved around
a lot.
So I think as long as you don't say that you're going to be somewhere forever, you just go, it's this season in my life.
Well, and you enjoy it for what it is rather than obsessing about what it should be or what it isn't.
Look,
it's
great to know, right? Like, it's great for you. You guys went and you know.
Yep.
And if this is it or not, or you might go to Ohio or be around family or whatever's next. You don't know.
Well, because now your brother's in Michigan.
Yeah.
He's in Michigan, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys
He's south. So Bowling Green, Ohio, that's where you're from.
Yeah.
That's the closest big city is what?
Well, I mean, Toledo.
Toledo, right, is the big.
Yeah.
Don't knock Toledo. You know who's from there, your buddy.
Jamie Farr.
From MASH, that's right.
Oh, right.
So that's the claim to fame.
Tony Paco's pickles.
What about your pickle?
Yeah. That's next podcast. Go ahead.
Toledo is what? How far from Bowling Green?
25 minutes.
25? Yep. And then how far is Drew from there?
He's 40 minutes from there, so it takes like an hour and 20 minutes to get to.
You never know where you may land.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be back out here, too.
But you know what? Hollywood's changed, and I think all of us know that are working in the industry. Like, it used to be, if you want to work, you have to be in New York or L.A.,
right.
And you got to be in the room.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't know if Steve said you were up for something a little bit ago, that you guys put yourself on tape when you guys were on the road.
All the time. Every time we're on the road,
Steve's my reader.
I'm reading.
Well, he's what like, a great scene partner.
No, I know, right? He's like, oh, dude, listen. Yeah. I go, what time's our flight tomorrow, Brad? He goes, oh, it's 6 a.m. But I have to put myself on tape at 3:30. Can you wake up?
Yeah.
Not that bad, but pretty close.
Well, this last trip we went on, he had to be this hot girl that I was reading with, and I'm in callbacks for it. Thanks, Steve. But no, sure. that was one of the reasons why we realized that we could move to Sacramento is because some of the stuff, even stuff that was happening in L.A., they were asking me to send tapes in for stuff that was in L.A.
while we
were living in L.A.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, if I'm going to live in L.A. and send a tape, well, man, I can send a tape from anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And, obviously I can still get here if I need to, 5 hours.
Well,
drive.
You're close enough. The problem for me, and it's fine, I chose to move there. But if you really want to be in the game, and Dirk has other businesses that are fine.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need to be acting. But if you want to be in the game, you got to be here.
You got to be able to be here.
Right. So you can drive down. It's not far. You can hop on a flight.
Yeah, you're a 40-minute flight away.
A big deal.
Yeah.
3-4 hours away is a little different. So me coming back to the show and all the other opportunities that are kind of coming up, I got to be here.
Yeah.
And I want to see my wife and kids.
Sure.
Also.
Do you have any connection for if something comes up for you that you can send a tape for?
Yeah, I mean, like Steve said, I've been concentrating on other stuff lately, working on that. But, it's easy for us to – I almost say easy, but if I want to start doing it again, I just,
Right.
I call, make some – the agent, blah, blah, blah.
Make some calls.
Make some calls. I call my people.
Lunches.
But I've honestly really enjoyed this season of my life, too, of taking a break from it for 23 years. And you guys know – the industry, when you're out grinding Bradford and auditioning, and Steve, you did it for, of course, many years, you just get tired.
Yeah.
And you're just it's not that we don't love it, but, it's nice to be able to sit in a place and go, you know what? When the passion hits me again, if it does,
right,
then I can decide to engage in it once again, And that's the great thing about this business. I mean, you've got a body of work that will always be there that you can always go, hey, man, I took like 10 years off and raised my kids, or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is you came out to Hollywood to do it and you did it.
Yeah.
And now it's another chapter where, you have some other successful businesses, which is awesome. So, the fact that you can make that choice, to have the choice of being, hey, I don't really want to go out or do it because I'm just burnt out. People get burnt out, dude. And especially in this business, dude, especially when you're out there and Bradford auditions a lot and he's doing a lot and it's, granted a lot of it's self-tape and he doesn't have to drive. Remember when you'd go on 5, 3, 4 commercial auditions in one day?
Yeah.
Where you would be in the Valley, then in Santa Monica, and then over to Venice, and then you'd have to go to Pasadena, wherever it was. I mean,
your whole day was busted.
Yeah.
You had the headshots in the car. You had the clothes in the car, different changes, different looks. It was crazy, right? I mean, it's the dog and pony show for sure.
And I think that, I don't even think that's happening anymore.
No.
It's all different now.
I'm still
isn't
going
it?
For some commercials now and then. I don't, being where I am, it's, tough to come down for a commercial audition because, the numbers are kind of never
stacked
in your favor.
Against you. Yeah.
But they're few and far between now. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some people that go on them regularly, but not me. Yeah.
It generally is the guys that are just coming in that really want to just need to make some money. And then you got the guys, we all know people that have become professional.
Well, I mean, you see those faces and you're like, that guy. And then chances are they end up in a series the next year, right? Like if you see the same guy in the national commercial over and over again, chances are they end up in a series because, it's people that are casting commercials see the same charisma and see the same talent that they do, especially for the character-driven commercials, not just the, hey, look, there's a hot guy,
Right, right.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I know I'm hot, so why do we have to keep bringing that up on this podcast?
How has the transition been like? Because now you're at home and you got kids.
Yeah,
and
you work from home now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's not easy, though, sometimes when you got to balance, okay, I'm at home, but I gotta spend all my time not paying attention to the people at home. I gotta focus on this.
Well, dude, first of all, you got 3 kids. What are the ages?
10, 7, and 3. 2 girls and a little boy.
Wow.
Just like you. And how many do you have now?
Just 2. 7-4.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it was funny because Dirk works from home, and that's always the dream. I want to work from home.
It sounds great.
My terms.
I want to set my own schedule and work from home. Yep. And he called me. It was last week. He goes, dude, I got to get out of the house.
I'm going to blow my brains out.
I got to see some people. Because he's a people guy, right?
Yeah.
He's a people guy. He could be the mayor of a town. He's that guy, right?
Would you make it through the vetting process?
I think they wouldn't have to dig too far in my file to disqualify me. Nope. But Steve's seen my house in Tennessee, which you know, anywhere in California, you get a lot for your money. So I
outside of California.
Outside of California, right? Yeah. So I have this downstairs area, and it's nice. I just haven't done a lot to fix up. It's kind of got my computer.
It's
in
like
there.
The war room.
It's got some whiteboards and stuff that I draw on, but. Yeah, man. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse. My wife, here's what I really want to do. I want to get a Class A RV. I want to pull a freaking Jeep behind it, and I want to homeschool my kids for a year, and I want to see the United States that way. And that way I can work because I'm already
– He works from his laptop.
He needs a laptop. So that's what I want to do.
And what's Class A?
Class A, well, I mean, if you look, there's Class A, which is the big, like, the big one that you...
Like the Prevost?
That you can get out and walk in the back of. And then the fifth wheel is the one you pull on a truck. And and the Class B is, like, the one with the, like, it's like a truck on the front, and it looks like it's got a hood over it.
Oh, okay.
Right,
yeah.
You know, there's... But the Class A is the, like...
The standalone.
Do you have to get a license for the Class A, a separate license?
Commercial
or
something?
Surprisingly, no.
Okay. Because you're basically driving a bus.
Yeah, you're driving a car, but... But yeah, I mean.
So you like that's kind of you've talked about it a lot. So
I really do. I mean,
but your wife's not into it.
Well, you got to do it before the kids get too old, right?
Well,
listen, my wife would not do it either.
My wife wouldn't either.
Not a chance.
I know.
Not a freaking chance.
I'm fighting the same battle.
Not a chance.
But I feel like there's certain things
because
you gotta,
it's fun for you, not them.
Because they end up doing the work.
They're still doing all the work, but now you're not even at home. You're in a place that's a tenth the size of your house.
You're going to
laundromats. With all the same stuff. You're going, yeah, man.
Yeah, maybe it's in theory. You know, maybe I should just rent it for the weekend and see how that works
out. Go small first.
Thanks,
yeah.
Guys. My wife's going to love you for talking me out of that.
No, because I have a similar dream. Like, especially living in California.
What's the dream?
Well, no, just vacationing, going, being able to go where you want to go, where the site is. And then bring in your hotel with you. Like, I don't know. There's something cool about that. Because in California especially, there's so many beautiful places. And if you can just drive up to the beautiful place and just be among it, that's pretty
cool.
Yeah,
because being with Port Chuck, we had that bus, right?
Oh, right.
And the thing was, we got different buses every time, but they were pimp.
Yeah, they were awesome.
Buses. And we're like, oh, we could do this on vacation?
Yeah.
We could take the family.
We were bringing 13 guys in the bus. And we're like thinking, oh, if it was just me, my wife, and my kids... This would be luxury.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Right. And it would be.
I think so.
But you would need a driver.
Yeah.
I think there's a season in your life where it could be the right time to do that. I mean, there's.
Yeah, when you're 80 and you have no kids anymore.
Dude, when you're 80, you're not probably doing the stuff you'd want to do now. But I feel you. I feel what you're saying. But
yeah.
We'll see. The great
thing. Hold on to the dream, Dirk. Dude, don't let it go.
Guys, come on, man.
Never let it go.
This is not the dream crushing podcast. It's possible. Anything's possible.
How many
podcast.
Is this now for you guys?
This will be 17 or 18.
What? That's awesome. That's,
yeah man.
Besides good. Me being the best, like who's second?
Oh, that's a tough choice, dude.
We'll put a poll up for people to vote.
Ooh. If you guys vote for me, I'll tell you the rest of the stories.
Well, I gotta say, I love the G and Betty brothers being back in the mix, man.
Yeah, man,
that's awesome.
Bring them back, dude.
It's so cool you're back too, dude. I mean, you know.
Yeah, man, it's fun to be around.
Everybody knows the Spinelli. Damien Spinelli is
good to be seen.
Guys, listen, you guys, I love you guys.
Does that mean you're leaving us? Wait, hold on. Hold
dude,
on. Listen, bitch.
Dude, lunch only got you this far, dude.
Listen. Do you understand? Do you understand what happened there?
Guys, I'm going to be wrapping this up now.
Yeah. You know that he cut us off?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Because he needs to go work.
Yeah,
I know him. It's driving him crazy. Yeah. This was the longest he's been off of his phone in 5 years.
That's the problem with working at home, dude. You got to set your hours.
I hate it,
you
got to
set your hours,
Dude right there, he's like, I got to go. Okay, guys, well, thanks a lot for coming in.
I'm getting booty. All right. No, but in all seriousness, the working from home is awesome. But it's nice to do stuff like this. We actually get to talk to people, and you know,
this is your social interaction.
It is.
Yeah.
This is it. The tank is full, bro.
Yeah, you are Frank the Tank. Frank the Tank.
If they only knew.
Yeah. All right, man. Love you, buddy. Thanks for coming on,
hey,
dude.
Thanks
love
for
you
being
guys.
Here, buddy.
Thank you all guys right. so much. I'll talk to you all soon.
All right. All right.
All right. Later, later guys.
Bro. Later.
Tweet of the week. That was awesome having Dirk here, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great, man. So he's so funny. He's a great storyteller.
Well, and just like
people don't know that. So it's just funny, dude. When we're out and stuff, and he tells stories, people are just laughing
his,
and crying.
His memory for detail and his ability to just kind of put you in the room with him.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Is awesome. And great. I mean, I said this, I think, early on, but like, you know. My whole time I've been here, he's been a constant in that sense too. And there's no better guy to have around when you're hanging out.
Totally.
You know?
Awesome.
Because he's all positive and just
yep.
fun.
100%.
Awesome. Less fun is our tweet of the week. people are people. So. It's funny. We got on the road, and you have this line that you know is going to get a. You say Nell needs to die, and everyone goes crazy, right? Right? Because it's fun to hate the evil character.
Yeah.
Although we have great respect for Chloe and the character she's created, but there's a few people on Twitter that I think specifically have gotten mad at my character for helping Michael trying to get her. So this one will remain unnamed, and I just like. I like it. I like this one because, you'll see. Like to see Spinelli get captured by Valentin. I mean, wouldn't we all like to get captured by Valentin? He's
sure.
Nice. And locked in the bottom of Cassadine Mansion till he old. I'm getting kind of old anyway.
Till he old
and wasted. Now,
I
mean, lock me in the bottom of a mansion, give me a couple bottles of wine, I'll get wasted for you.
And... then you'll end up being old.
Being just old and wasted. So I appreciate you reaching out to me and wishing me good luck.
Good luck, Spinelli.
Did
they tag Spinelli or did they tag you?
Oh, they tag me.
Okay, cool.
Cast Iron Mansion, I mean, it's on an island. It's island living.
It's Spoon Island.
I mean, maybe some...
I'm very familiar with it.
Some tropical drinks.
Yeah, sure.
A little Mai Tai.
I mean, listen... the basement at Spoon Island is probably pretty nice.
Right. A little musty. I love that. You know, I love that basement smell.
Of course. There's always a must in there.
Oh.
Always. There's a must and a must. There's a must in the basement.
A musk.
And a must. Because.
Who lives there now? So.
Oh, gosh, dude. You're really asking me that
question. Well, does Valentin live there?
I guess.
Is he a Cassadine?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Right. Valentin yes. Cassadine?
Yes.
So is that. Is he.
I don't know.
Nicholas's brother?
I don't know.
Okay. Does he have a
I know we're going to get mean tweets for this.
Does he have a speedboat?
That I can ride in again and my beautiful hair flows in the misty wind.
I mean, is there a bridge? How do most people get to Spoon Island? Is it like a pontoon boat?
It's not a pontoon boat.
Can you imagine?
you and Max on a pontoon boat with a keg, and you guys are like jumping off the top and sliding down the little slide in the back. We're coming.
Just like those, like the evil geniuses that live in a castle, and the only way to get there is to take a pontoon boat.
Sure. Can you imagine? Imagine all of us on a pontoon boat. We got Sonny sitting in the back of a pontoon boat in his suit. And I'm holding an umbrella over him. Or maybe you are.
Yeah, that would be my job.
That would be your job. Big, and I'm driving.
A big fig leaf
I'm
fan.
Driving and Max and Max and Milo are on the top, you know, folded arms ready to eat a sandwich at any minute.
Well, on the East Coast, we call them party boats.
Yeah, pontoon boats in the South.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
It's just a flat thing with a gate. Like the
yeah,
the
with
flat,
a flat with
boat.
A gate that doesn't really
a flat
close.
Boat, a flat boat with a fence?
Yeah,
right?
With a fence. Yeah, a flat boat with a fence. And a second level.
If you're pimp.
If you're pimping it in Kentucky, you got a second level on the pontoon boat. And that's where the slide comes in.
Oh, that's right.
And that's where it's fun.
Yeah, I get it.
It's
I mean,
fun. The regular pontoon boat, not fun.
Yeah?
The second level, because you're level. Jumping
and
off.
And then you got built-in shade in the bottom.
Yes, it's the way to go.
Yeah.
I rented one.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, in Tennessee. Next time you call me.
Yeah, so I took my kids. A friend came out, flew out with his kids, and I took my kids. And we rented this really awesome pontoon boat with a slide and stuff, and we were going to fish. And this was powerful enough where you could tow.
Oh, wow.
Right, so you could have...
Tow a person?
Yeah, on an inner tube.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So they were holding on the inner tube, and I was, you know, doing stupid stuff, trying to fling them, you know, up onto shore.
Yeah.
No, but so we were jumping head first, diving off the top, and cannonballs, and can openers, and sleepers, and all the other stupid stuff you do. And
what's a can opener?
Can openers when you hold one leg and the other one straight.
What Dirk did in the
correct.
In the fountain.
Yeah, and a sleeper, you know what a sleeper is? Where you kind of put your hands over your face and you're just like a cadaver and you try to go in the water where you make the big splash. So anyway, too much information.
I had no idea.
But anyway, we found out this was a man-made lake years ago. They just opened the dam
and
so there were still trees underwater.
Ouch.
That we didn't know.
Oh, dude.
And we missed them every time. They're like, you shouldn't be jumping off the thing. I go, why? They go, because there's some trees down there somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, maybe you should tell us that before we rent a
freaking
pontoon boat.
Cut them down, man.
Good gosh, man.
I mean, you don't need to keep them there for the water's sake. What you doing?
Yeah, I know. So anyway, but pontoon boats are awesome with the second level.
Gosh,
if there's no second level, bye-bye. I'd rather be on a raft.
Oh, man, it makes me have aspirations for how I want the rest of my summer to go, and I just don't think it's going to be that cool.
Well, you got lakes up in Sacramento, a river, lake.
Well, we can go up to Tahoe, but school starts in like, by the time this one airs, I think the kids are all going to be in school.
I know. All right, man.
Always
a pleasure, Bradford Anderson.
Yeah, buddy.
Thanks, Dirk.
We'll be talking soon. Thanks, everybody. StoneColdAndTheJackal.com
for everything.
Everything you could ever dream.
No.